Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
How much you pay attention at all to the other quarterbacks in your draft class from last year, or this early in the year? And if so, what have you kind of seen, particularly from Caleb and Drake?
He's been doing his thing, so I always keep up with like football in general. So he's been doing his thing, and you know, we got our hands full coming up on Monday night with him and his offense, is just the whole team in general.
Prepared for you to tell me no, but do you pay? He was number one. You were number two. None of that matters?
Nah. He got drafted number one. I got drafted two. Nothing we could do to change that.
It's kind of an interesting answer there. Nothing we could do to change that. Jaden Daniels, Ben Standing asking the questions. He of Substack Standing fame. Last man standing. So Jaden Daniels on the season completing 59% of his passes right now. He's got four touchdowns. No interceptions. Through four games, Caleb Williams has played one more game. 62% of his passes, 7.1 yards per attempt. Jaden about 6.8. Williams has eight touchdowns, two interceptions. Very, very early on, too small of a sample to look a whole lot at this season. So I think the better deal is to look at the 20 and 21 games respectively. Daniels, obviously last year, waved a wand over this organization, and with some magical MVP caliber dust, turned this thing into a real contender and took Washington deep into the playoffs to the NFC Championship game. I would say it goes without saying Commanders fans are giddy about the choice that was made, that Caleb Williams went one. They feel like that was a blessing that Caleb Williams didn't come here and that Jaden Daniels was picked second. Now, I was texting with a buddy of mine today who's a Bears fan, and he said, I just hate the whole conversation about Jaden and Caleb. It's like, we're both really happy with our quarterbacks. I wonder if that's actually the truth. In his mind, kind of double-clicking on that, he's saying, we're pumped that we took Caleb Williams. He's shown everything that we need to see to feel like he's the answer. He's going to be the long-term solution. Both organizations are happy with who they ended up with, essentially. We're both at the movie theater on our dates. You do your thing over in those seats. We'll do our thing over here. You buy that from Bears fans, that there's not a little bit of buyer's remorse?
No, I don't buy it at all. So a couple things on this. So it's inevitable that these two will be compared forever. They went 1-2. The same way Andrew Luck and Griffin would have been compared had their career arcs played out.
If you remember early in the careers of Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, when Winston went 1 to the Bucs and Mariota went 2 to the Titans, they played their first ever game against each other. And for the first couple of years, everything one of them did, it was like, who was right, who was wrong? Because what happens is all these analysts, all these fans, they pick a guy, they tell you who they think they like, and then you got to see who actually turned out good and who didn't, so to speak.
Yeah, had Ryan Leaf turned into something, it would have been Manning and Leaf. I mean, that's forever linked. That's a normal thing. Article a day ago in Sports Illustrated, Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. Did the Bears draft the wrong QB? Whether it's Bears fans' fault or not, and I don't know every single Bears fan. I'm not speaking for everybody in general, but that would be exhausting. That's going to be thrown in your face. It's going to be discussed whether you want it to or not. So they had the number one pick and Washington didn't. And I know everyone knows that, but I think that's intrinsic and important to this entire discussion. From Chicago's perspective, they could have chosen either. Washington couldn't have. So for Washington's perspective, whichever one they hadn't taken, whichever one Chicago didn't take, was probably going to be there at number two. So who knows what they thought about Caleb Williams. You know, if he'd been here, I would have been optimistic. I still think that guy can really play. I think that's going to work out. I think he's really good. I think he and Ben Johnson will be good together in terms of an offensive fit, design, etc. They're going to have good skill guys. I think eventually maybe they'll figure it out there, and they might have a 4,000-yard passer for the first time pretty much ever right there in Chicago. But it worked out so well here, and Jaden Daniels is so wonderful, and I never considered the possibility of Caleb Williams because of how locked in on him the Bears were. So for me, it was never one of those, oh, like with the Skeens Cruz thing. I love Dylan Cruz. I'm a huge Cruz fan. If you can remember those discussions though leading up to it, the pulse was that Pittsburgh was actually going to take Dylan Cruz and not Paul Skeens. And I'm sitting there dreaming about Paul Skeens, and it would have been so much fun to have him. Never an option for Washington. They didn't have the option of Skeens because he was taken away from them. So they went Dylan Cruz. So that's all you do. But it never occurred to me that they were going to take Caleb Williams. And the reason I bring that up is I don't really care that much about Williams versus Daniels. But I'm also not naive enough to deny the fact that it's absolutely a thing. It will be the graphic that they enter the game with, the game story. When the Monday Night Football crew start talking, Buck and Aikman, they'll talk about both guys. There'll be a pregame thing. They'll let you know that this is what's happening. This is who's important. It's the side-by-side comparisons. And it's not going away with the Hail Mary the way it went last year and you know, Daniels scuffling and Williams almost stealing the game there in the late minutes. This thing is not going anywhere, and Bears fans are always going to be asked about it. So, yeah, it's going to be a thing on their mind.
Yeah, we talked about the budding rivalry between the organizations. And the biggest reason for the two fan bases having animus toward one another, I think, is the constant debate about the quarterbacks. And I do think there's a little brother syndrome thing here with the Bears, because they had the choice of everybody and chose Caleb Williams, and he has been worse than Jaden Daniels to this point. That's just a fact. I mean, there is basically no metric by which you can compare the two guys, juxtapose the numbers and the performance, and say that Caleb Williams has been better than Jaden Daniels. I would even make the case that he had a better situation last year in terms of talent and personnel and some of the things around him than Daniels did. Now, what has to be acknowledged is that while there was a time, go back and pull the audio before week one last year, where I was saying Caleb Williams might have the best situation of any rookie quarterback in history because of the receivers and the backs and, you know, all of the things they had. He had a terrible coaching situation. The Bears did the thing that is stupid, that teams do that they shouldn't do, where a bad head coach who's going to be fired probably was retained. They hired an offensive coordinator that was a bad fit that they hired and fired pretty quickly in season last year. So he had multiple guys calling plays, multiple guys on the offensive side he's learning from. He's effectively now had three play callers and three different offenses and two head coaches in the span of 13 months or whatever. This is quite literally how you ruin a quarterback. Like they tried their best, did everything they could in year one from a coaching practice standpoint to ruin your 1-1 at quarterback. I think Ben Johnson will save their bacon a little bit here, because now you go get one of the sharpest offensive minds in the league. You bring him in and you say, please be a quarterback whisperer for us. Please get this quarterback who played badly and looked flawed last year to play at a different level and look like a franchise QB now.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
But Danny, Jaden's been better. And that's where I think all of the hostility comes from. A jealousy about the fact that, let's go election day style, where you go, you know those little boards they set up in the high school cafeteria, whatever, uh-huh. And you take your folder in and you bubble in the governor's name coming up on the Virginia gubernatorial race. By the way, why is it gubernatorial?
That's a great question.
How does the governor election become goob?
Why can't you just say governor's race? But they call it the gubernatorial.
Why goob?
I don't know.
Where does goob come from?
I don't know.
We don't call it the gubernatorial race when it's a presidential election.
I certainly don't. I'm not about to start either.
Is that a term I don't know about? Like, who are you voting for in the gubernatorial?
In the gubernatorial.
That's not a thing, right?
No. Gubernatorial. Runs your Deadpool.
Anyway, when you take your little folder in that little room, if Bears fans had to say, stick with Caleb Williams or take Jaden Daniels right now, and no one found out how you voted, what percentage of them are saying Jaden Daniels?
Well, what they're doing now is they're holding on to the fact that Williams is off to a better start, I put that in quotes, this year than Daniels is. First couple of games for Daniels, injury, et cetera. So yeah, the numbers right now look better for Caleb Williams. And so all of a sudden that's like we took enough flack this past year, thinking of the Bears fans, et cetera, because of our boob GM the dumb coaching situation, et cetera. Caleb Williams didn't look particularly good. They went 5-12 despite starting with a winning record. Hail Mary, post that broke them, et cetera. They took a lot of you-know-what. It went downhill. And the fact that it's not really for me, this is irrelevant, but for them, it's looked better, quote-unquote, this year than it has for Washington. They're everybody's so excited now, and Duncan and saying, see, we got our right guy. Yeah,
Williams has been better than Daniels so far, and we're 5 weeks into the season. Daniels played two games, one of which he got hurt in, and missed a couple of games, then came back and played a game where he looked a lot better, looked like himself. But, yeah, that's fine. I'll tip my cap and say, if we're just doing this on, if you want to play this on a month of sample, where a guy played a game and a half before he got hurt, okay, you could claim victory on the first month of the season. That's fine. Would they bet on the last three quarters of the season on Williams outperforming Daniels? Would they do that right now?
I would not.
But I want an answer to my question. Best you can guess. What percentage of Bears fans do you really think would you get the bubble in one of the two in the gubernatorial race here? Stick with Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels was the pick and you've had him now for a year and change?
I think it's probably 50-50.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking like 80% of Bears fans would take Jaden.
I think it's, if they were correct, they would. If they were smart, they would. But that's not what a fan is, right? I mean, you're sitting there going, I love this dude. I'm so excited.
Because they have the Caleb Williams jersey, because they remember the big moment, the great throw, the great play. I mean, he just misses so many things. There's some really ugly misses from him. He's such an inconsistent player. Off platform and... You know, you confuse him a little bit. You make him hold the ball. Next thing you know, he's skipping balls into people.
And then two plays later, it's like, that was jaw-dropping. Oh, my God. Yeah, what an unbelievable talent. You're right.
Incredible ceiling.
He's infuriating in that way. But, yeah, I'll take Jaden Daniels every time, please, and thank you. But, again, I still think Caleb Williams is going to be good. So, for me, this is not – I know I'm bringing up the topic and interested in discussing it. Also, while saying – I'm not that concerned about the rivalry. And I wonder from Washington's perspective, we were so they're like us. They're the Midwest version of us. Couldn't find a quarterback. No one was any good at it. They're never consistent, never good. The occasional flare up here and there, the weird 13-win team that wins on punt blocks and defense for you. But for the most part, it's bad management, terrible ownership, a group that just doesn't have a chance, and everyone else in the division takes turns whooping your butt. And you're at the bottom almost every year with the occasional flare up. Them and us are real similar. We now are competent. Washington is competent. We got 1 year under our belt, by the way, of competence. I'm not sitting there giving myself a parade based on that, yeah. But I'm working on my second year straight
like
of competence.
Lost 30 pounds telling everyone else how to lose weight when they're still big and heavy.
Yeah, right. I'm not necessarily doing that. What I am saying is I empathize with them. I get Chicago's viewpoint. I am you. I see a lot of ourselves in each other. I got one. I got the monster at the end of the level. I have the thing that I've craved my entire life. Maybe you do too. I don't know. But to me, it's not a rivalry that I'm concerned about at all. But I know a lot of people are.
Yeah, so what's the angle? Because you wanted to talk about this.
Yes.
And you're kind of now poo-pooing the idea of like,
I know.
I don't really care about it. So I guess I'll just ask you, what angle do you want to go with here?
Do you care about this rivalry? Because it's a thing. It exists. And I heard a great discussion about it on the Junks this morning, which is what spawned the conversation. 800-636-1067. We talked about this as a team rivalry yesterday a little bit, and some people said, yeah, most people said no. But these two are forever linked because of the Bears' decision.
So it's funny, because I do care. Not care is the wrong word. I am fascinated by who's playing better and who isn't and who people would buy stock in and who they wouldn't. Like, I'd throw Drake May into the equation, Bo Nix into the equation, Michael Penix into the conversation. Washington had a choice between all of these quarterbacks. It looks like they took the guy that makes the most sense for their program, and is going to have a great future, and is a superstar, and hopefully is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It was only a few weeks ago entering the season when people were saying in town, this is the fifth best quarterback in the league behind the big four. You got the Mount Rushmore of Burrow and Mahomes and Brady and Allen. After that, who's the next best? And everyone was ready to kind of just put Jaden in Sharpie. I think there's still a chance he could be that guy. But it's a great quarterback class. So your point is you don't really care what Drake May becomes in New England.
No.
Or what Michael Penix becomes in Atlanta. I do.
Which I get.
Not because I care, like, to the sense of, should Washington have taken Michael Penix? That's not my point. They're all, like, we studied all of them, spent months watching these guys and trying to figure out who was going to be good or who wasn't. How do you just turn that off now to not be interested? I'm not asking you. I'm just saying,
mm-hmm. How does one, yeah.
Like, I can't. So, yeah, I if you are convinced of something before the draft, it'd be like saying to Paul DeBoney, well, you guys didn't draft this player that you scouted and had on your board. Do you still follow him in the minors? Sure, I bet he does. He had a bunch of evals and wrote this guy up, and this is what I think he's going to be. I'll bet you you're following guys in every system. But let's take calls on this next. We'll hit the phones with you guys. 800-636-1067. Do you care about what the other quarterbacks, the other young guys, especially because Caleb Williams went one or Drake May went three or whatever, sandwiching Jaden Daniels, do you care what those guys are doing? And specific to the Williams-Daniels rivalry that gets renewed this weekend, are you interested in it? Is it something you are tracking and monitoring? It certainly seems like right now it's been all Daniels. Oh, through 20 games for him and 21 for Caleb Williams. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think your draft class of quarterbacks is going to be known for at the end of the day?
Pretty badass class, right?
Yeah.
Six QBs going within first round and first 12. Yeah, so it's a pretty good draft class. Obviously, guys are playing well, just about all the guys. So, I think it's going to turn out like a good class. Obviously, be competing versus these guys for a long time and, you know, excited about it.
Caleb Williams coming back home. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Williams looks very much improved and has just been a better version of the inconsistent player we saw last year. He's not ironed out the wrinkles. Like I actually think that's always going to be part of his game because there is this element of off-schedule chaos that he brings to the table. So I think there's always going to be, when he holds the ball, when you get him patting the football a little bit, he's just going to miss pretty rampantly or there's going to be more floor to his bad plays, but it's the special ones he can make that very few guys can, the really unique, elite-level throw, crazy arm talent plays where you go, damn, Caleb Williams is really good.
I mean,
he'll have you thinking at different points during the game, this guy's top 10 to, wow, this will not work. Not in a way that most guys can't, honestly.
You saw it last year in the game that they should have won, but they got Hail Mary'd. He wasn't good for 56 minutes in that game. But the last few minutes, he made play after play after play, scrambling, off schedule, you know, tough throws, getting clocked. So 10 for 24 for a buck 31, sacked a few times, does not inspire, a legion of great fans. That was just numbers for the game. But I'm telling you, those last couple minutes, you went, holy crap, that was unbelievable. That's why you invest. That's why you're patient with a guy with that kind of talent.
And let's hit the phones. Do you guys care about the rivalry between these two quarterbacks that went 1-2? Phillip, we'll start with you in Silver Spring. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hey, buddy.
You bet.
I don't think that I think it's a little bit different. I think the organizations may care more than you think, especially our organization, given that Ben Johnson slighted us. Between the players, I don't think Caleb Williams cares as much. Jaden Daniels is a very introverted person. He holds things in. Apparently, he was not even invited to the workout for the Bears. He may not say it. He may deflect all the questions, but deep down, I promise you, it's burning him inside.
As kind of like a means of motivation, in other words?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's somebody who, introverted guys hold grudges. They have no other way to release it.
I'll tell you right now, his answer to me, at the end of what he said to Standing, I actually took that to mean there is aggravation that he didn't go one. And I don't think it's, obviously he wants to be here now that he's met DQ, that he's worked in this building, that he knows Adam Peters, that he's tight with Cliff Kingsbury, that all of his best friends are his teammates, he's part of the brotherhood. But the idea that they didn't take you first after you had 50 touchdowns in the SEC, you won the Heisman Trophy, play the cut again. I mean, he says there's nothing we can do about it, or something like that. As if to say, you'd like to do something about it.
You made your mistake.
I don't say that after something great happens. Like, you don't come up to me and hand me an Uncrustable and a Coke Zero with ice, and I'm like,
well, something we can do about that.
And you're like, yeah, and I'm going, well, there's nothing I can do about that. No, I say that when I go, Danny, can I have an Uncrustable? You're like, dude, I just ate the last one. No, there's nothing I can do about it.
It's prepared for you to tell me no, but do you pay it? He was number one. You were number two. None of that matters?
No. No, he got drafted number one. I got drafted two. Nothing we could do to change that.
To change that. As if you'd like to change that, maybe. And I think if he had his druthers, obviously he'd like to be a Commander who went first overall. Like, Washington traded up and got him. But, yeah, by the way, he should feel that way. You were in a competition with a bunch of people that you outperformed in your final year of college, and then this dude goes before you in the draft. Who was the previous Heisman Trophy winner, by the way? You were the last two to win it. Let's go to Shane in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Shane?
Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant, how y'all doing today?
Hey, buddy.
We're great.
Hey, Commander, can you grab a hold of this ship and put Lieutenant Grant back on mopping the floor? Is this a Commander's Network or a Bears Network? I mean, come on. So here's the thing. It's obviously Jaden Daniels is going to be the better quarterback of the two. He's a better quarterback in college. He played in bigger games in college. And last time I checked, he beat him head-to-head. He's 1-0 against him. So I would take Jaden Daniels over. Number one, I don't want my quarterback painting his fingernails and his toenails, too. Let's call it what it is. So, no, I want a man's quarterback, and that's what we got.
A man's
and
I think quarterback. That took a turn there,
absolutely.
Shane.
Absolutely. You know what, though? Look, who would you rather have, Grant? Who would you have right
well,
now?
Obviously, it's Jaden. But I don't know what you heard at the beginning of the topic. That isn't the topic, honestly. Like, if anyone would take Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels right now, you're related to Caleb Williams or you're wrong. Based on what we've seen through 20 games, Jaden Daniels, it's night and day better. He's had a better career to this point. And just based on the skill sets, to me, it's not close. Like, it's Jaden Daniels by a mile. That's not even really what we're talking about. We're talking more about the idea of, do you care about what happens with the other one? Danny says, no, I don't really care. Do you care about the rivalry? I am interested in the rivalry. I think it's fun.
So here's where I would care, and I'll sort of qualify this a little bit. Let's say Daniels wasn't very good, as has happened here in Washington a million times, and they finally pony up and draft someone really high, whether it's Heath Shuler or, you know, name that quarterback over the years. And then guys that go after him thrive. Like when the Wizards punted on the draft entirely in one that had Steph Curry, or took Jan Vesely instead of Kemba Walker or Kawhi Leonard. It's infuriating when that happens. It's beyond blood boiling. It's absurd. But when you take, you know, when you're 1-1 in San Antonio and you take Victor Wembanyama and he's splendid, I'm not really concerned what else happened after that, unless somebody supersedes him and he, you know, it goes south and he gets bad. But because this is the answer to all my prayers, like the thing that I've begged for decades, where it's
right,
the easy button.
Let me pose the question this way then, because you just opened my eyes to something else. Like, the way that Daniels performs has nothing to do with it for me, in the way of, like, my interest is, maybe this is like a cop-out straw man thing, but like, I'm super interested in how Joe Flacco plays for the Bengals this week. Like, I changed my schedule Sunday morning so that I could see Dylan Gabriel's debut. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I am interested in the league in a way where it's way too big a priority in my life. And, like, I want to see with quarterbacks who's good and who isn't and watch them for myself. So I am fascinated. But let's say Daniels plays the whole year how he's played this stretch of the season, which I do not think is the case. I think last year is closer to being the real thing than this year. But let's just say that Daniels, who, if you're comparing, I'm just picking a number, but like QBR or something this year is way behind Caleb Williams or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like what we've seen so far is what sophomore Jaden Daniels is. And at the end of the year, what you're saying then is if Drake May is rated higher than him in all these things and Caleb Williams is rated higher than him in all these lists of guys you'd want, now all of a sudden you care more about how
yes.
those guys are playing?
Yes.
That's interesting.
That's precisely it. Like if Daniels somehow falls off and these other guys thrive, now I get my buyer's remorse. Now I get the things that I would care about.
Well, that explains why the Bears fans care so much.
And they're, God dang it, man. Literally where I was going. Yes, that's the point, is because that rookie year with a terrible situation, which I actually was wrong about. I thought it was going to be great, but I underestimated.
How could any of us know that Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams would basically hate each other's guts?
Yeah, the Eberflus-Waldron tandem was not going to work out. And they fired everybody, and now there's a chance for it to. So it's almost like a rookie year 2.0 for Williams, as he kind of, you know, knows what it's like to be in the league, but has to learn everything brand new. But a good situation when you add in Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and you know, Ben Johnson in the mix. But that, to me, is how the Bears fans got here, where the article doesn't write, you know, if both were great, nobody would be writing the article, right? But did the Bears select the wrong guy? That was yesterday in Sports Illustrated. All the last year, they heard every sports talk show up there, Monsters of the Midway. Did the Bears take the wrong guy in the draft?
And they're all doing that crap. They didn't even look at other guys.
I know.
The Tyler Dunn story is an all-timer if you haven't heard that, read that in his Substack. But like the scouting process, some of the anecdotes in that story are stunning. They didn't have their scouts dive into Jaden Daniels. They didn't watch Drake May tape, and they would put together bad clips of those guys and good clips of Williams to just confirm their priors. That's like how the GM did it. They didn't want to get to know the other guys. They didn't meet with them. They didn't sit down with them. That's insane when you have the number one pick. But they made up their mind before the process started, which is a joke. This was Logan Paulson on Take Command. We have a new episode previewing the Commanders and the Bears that dropped today. You can get it when we're done tonight, wherever you get your audio. Good film breakdown on Chicago's offense and defense from Logan. This was him talking about Caleb.
Ben Johnson's done a really good job of kind of finding explosive pass plays, but also just finding easy buttons in general. Like, here's an easy throw. Here's an easy read. Here's a nice play action shot down the field. The thing that sticks out to me, Grant, is when they don't have that, he's not super comfortable just like reading it out. And you can see that in terms of ball time to throw, right? So it's like you want to kind of be in this sweet spot. You don't want him holding the ball for 4 seconds because he knows how to run around and kind of break coverages. You don't want him to kind of get the ball out of his hand super quick. But when he's in that kind of no man's land where it's like, hey, I got to kind of go from 1 to 2 to 3, it gets a little bit dicey. His foot, his mechanics with his feet get a little bit weird. And he'll throw some of the worst misses I've seen NFL quarterbacks throw in a long time. Like, his down to down, I'd say, is definitely trending in the right direction. But like Grant, like, he gets out there, he tries to accelerate his feet, and he'll one hop a dig to a receiver over the middle of the field. And I can't think of a guy that I've seen do that. In the same breath, Grant, he's got some of the best throws you've seen all year, you know, just kind of weird arm angles, body contorting, ball pushing down the field. So there's this weird dichotomy where it's like the bad is really bad, the good is really good. And I think the thing that is that comes to the forefront is the middle then is not great, you know? And I think that's where you want him living as much as possible, in this land where he's got to kind of make these decisions, get a little bit of pressure on him. And I think that's one of the reasons why the offense feels so clunky.
I think when you can keep him on schedule, it actually helps you a lot defensively, which is different than a lot of other passers.
I agree with that.
When you want to like get them off their mark. But
you don't want to, and actually don't want to give him happy feet, because when he starts moving, then some electric stuff happens.
But if you could take away his first look, as Logan's saying, that's where when you watch him, man, it's like, really? That's the throw? But just when you're out, just when you go, okay, this guy's just too inconsistent, he'll have back-to-back throws that no one else in the league can make. And you're like, damn. All right, I get it now. By the way, time to throw for him this year, 2.98 seconds. Now, his sacks have come down, to his credit, but it's the longest time to throw in the NFL. He holds the ball longer than anybody else. So going into a matchup against a team with a top six sack rate, this could get interesting. Let's go to Patrick in Spotsylvania on Grant and Danny. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, y'all. I'll be honest with you guys. When we beat them on the Hail Mary last year, did you guys ever watch the video where you see Caleb Williams? He's about to, like, go on the field and kind of rush the field, and then you see his face just drop because they lost the game.
Oh, he looks so sad. Yeah, I've seen it.
I watch that video whenever I'm sad to make me happy. I get so much joy from that because I care so much about this rivalry, guys. Like, and it's not even just because I'll say this. Like, I think it boils down to, it kind of adds a layer to football where, if you guys remember the 04 draft, when you think about Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, and Phillip Rivers, like, there's people that still argue about those quarterbacks today. You could take it or leave that, you know, Phillip Rivers may have been pretty technically good, but Eli has the rings, and Big Ben's probably the best out of those, but you'll get arguments from the fan bases with that. I feel pretty similar to this, to where, you know, I want to make sure that when it's said and done, Jaden Daniels has the most championships, and I don't have to make the excuse, well, Caleb Williams had this kind of team, or Jaden had an elite defense. No, like, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback, and he's won championships. That's really, really what I want at the end of this, more than Drake May.
I get it.
More than Bo Nix. For some reason, Caleb Williams, it just irks me a little bit more. Like, I want him to lose more than Jaden Daniels. I want Jaden Daniels to win. Maybe it's because he wasn't picked first overall. I kind of have Jaden's back with that. You know, again, not to say that I'm sad. I'm glad we have him, but you guys kind of get my thought.
But it is a reality for him, what we're talking about. And you're saying, basically, because you think Jaden is the guy and better than the other guys, you don't necessarily care about what other people are doing. His is the opposite. He's so prideful about his guy.
Happen every week. Yeah.
I guess I'm more on his side, where it's like, he's so happy that he's got Daniels, and that for him, Washington was right and the other teams, including and specifically Chicago, weren't. That, like, he gets more enjoyment out of monitoring everybody else to see Jaden as the dude. 800-636-1067. It's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Bears fans on social media, every incompletion from Jaden seems like some referendum. There's clearly a little bit of envy there. Do you think this rivalry is just early career stuff, or do you think this lasts for a long time? This is the fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears Commanders Monday Night Football. That means Caleb Williams is back in the DMV, and a rivalry between top picks is renewed. On G&D, we're taking you up to 6:30. Tomorrow, we're out in Reston at Char Bar. That is the bar restaurant at the JW Marriott, the brand new beautiful hotel in Reston.
It is newly constructed, and that place is immaculate. Gorgeous, comfortable, great ambiance. There's your buzzword of the day. The foodstuffs, everything I had was unbelievable. I think you could say the same. And that doesn't even include the chocolate football situation that we had there. They took great care of us last time. Cannot wait to go back and see you guys.
Let's go to Chris, who's in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris? How are you?
What's up, gentlemen?
You know, it's mostly more or less a curiosity to me to keep up on Caleb Williams. Right now, Jaden Daniels is hands down the better player. And yes, I want him to continue to outperform because that means Jaden Daniels is doing well. But the thing that really I can't say about Caleb Williams is the Jim Edmonds of quarterbacks, right? Like, people saw Jim Edmonds make a lot of diving catches, overhead catches, and think he's the greatest center fielder ever, when in reality, the defensive metrics don't really bear that out. And I think the fans saw some flashy scramble plays at USC on YouTube and deemed this guy the greatest thing ever. I see, he's Johnny Manziel / Kyrie Irving with a little bit better marketing.
So I'm not playing the Johnny Manziel game.
Appreciate you, dude.
Manziel didn't belong in the NFL and couldn't cut it. Caleb's already proven to be more capable than that. I certainly understand
the
idea.
But I see the point of, like, the hype hasn't matched.
Yeah, and there are players who are more sizzle reel than player. You know what I mean? Like, the highlight package of certain dudes in the NBA or whatever are better than the idea of them better than the execution. I totally get what he's saying, and maybe Caleb does become that guy. Because I think it's true. If you just take his 10 best plays from yet last year, you put them together in a highlight reel, you go, oh my goodness.
Put him up against anybody's 10 best, yeah.
But down in and down out, are you taking a guy like that who is out of structure and can't quite figure it out when it's just three steps, hitch, fire? You know, you'd rather the Derek Carr, Jared Goff sometimes. Because it's just like he's just not executing the play. It's like, dude, it's right there for you. What are you seeing? What aren't you seeing? So I understand what you're getting at, but he's so young in this thing, and he's getting better all the time. That's the other thing I want to acknowledge with Caleb Williams. A quarter way into his sophomore season, he has made major strides this season. Can't we all acknowledge that?
100%.
Like, he's been way better early on than he was last year.
Numbers buoyed a bit extra by that unbelievable Dallas game, but he still gets credit for it, right? 300 yards, four
happened.
Touchdowns, etc. But even still, this is better than his start last year, and it's not close.
Are we, you know, if we're taking those out, we got to take Jaden's best game out.
Absolutely.
So the idea of, like, oh, that game is why. Sure, that game happened. Bet you Jaden's got a 3-touchdown gem in there where a defense wasn't that great, too. Like, that's how numbers work. Let's go to Bernie in Potomac Falls. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, thanks. I'm going to stop by and see you guys tomorrow, too. That's about 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
You're going to have yourself a good meal, I'll bet you. That's a great restaurant.
I might
restaurant.
Be with wife and son. They'll tell me about the meals. I'll tell them about happy hour cocktails. But here's what I think happened. The Bears, a lot of people had the Bears making the playoffs last year. Some people had them winning the NFC Central. They were supposed to see this jump. The Commanders, not so much. So the Bears fans kind of became mad at social media because – It didn't deliver, and Jaden did. So the natural thing is, like, no, our guy's still good. Now we have the coach in place. Now we're going to show you what he is. Now that we have a stable environment to support him, we're going to show you what he is. I think Commanders fans would be doing the same thing if the roles were reversed. But I don't think there's a rivalry. You know, there's going to be a rivalry if it's like the Falcons game last year where it's Jaden versus Williams. Winner gets in the playoffs. If they meet in the playoffs, I think that's the only way this thing has legs. They don't live in the same division. They're not going to play every year. But the ability for the league to showcase number one and number two hitting means a lot. That's why they're always on. That's why national pundits are talking about them. It's good for the sport if the number one and number two pick hit, especially at quarterback. That's why it's always kind of in the air and being talked about, because it's good for the league. So I know you got a lot of calls. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks,
buddy.
Appreciate
you, dude.
Yeah, it's a TV show about quarterbacks. That's what the NFL is, and these are the two guys that were picked at the top of the board. I agree with this point on the rivalry. If you're not in a division, it's really hard. These two teams have played 4 years in a row.
It's been uncanny, yeah.
And these two guys are going head-to-head for a second straight year. It's possible it happens again over the next couple of years, you know, a few times. And so if you play enough, I think, especially if they're big games, get into the playoff-type games, as you said, you know, that could do some heavy lifting. But it's not between the players. I don't even think it's between the teams. This is a fan thing. And it is a Bears fan base driven thing where I do just think it's an envy deal. You drafted a guy, as you said, you thought you were going to be a 10 plus win team. You thought you were going to make the playoffs. Neither of those things happened. And then the guy that went to had one of the great rookie years ever, was way better than your guy, and the team went all the way to the NFC Championship.
And you went 5-12 after losing to them in reckless fashion.
And you fired coordinators in season, and you blew out your staff after the season. Other than that, it was a pretty good year. Melvin's in Bowie. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Now, I got a couple things. I'll say this. We go back to RG3 and Andrew Luck. What did we think of that?
That's a good one.
RG3 was, what, rookie of the year. Look who ended up with the better career, but he left. So I look at
Let
it like
this. Let me ask
you
this, Melvin, because I don't remember. Maybe it was just because our guy was really good. I don't remember, like, in 13 or 14 after the Griffin thing went off the rails, Washington fans being obsessed with trying to take away from Luck's success, like Bears fans.
No, it was done then because, you know, it was just like, wow. But I did still look and go, look at Luck still rolling. Luck was rolling.
Yes, he was.
That team going well. So here we go. Who wouldn't have took Caleb Williams in the beginning? In the beginning, what was we thinking? We'll take either one of these guys. We was hoping Caleb Williams slipped at first. But I am so glad we got Jaden Daniels. I'm with Danny on that. Jaden is doing it. So, yeah, I look at all four of these guys. What is it, five of them? I compared the stats at every end of every game last year, and I was glad our guy was the best one.
So you got a spreadsheet there.
I looked at it. And then the last thing is I look at the name who you will not name eventually because they will get more than 350 yards. I hope not. I mean,
Ben Johnson, one of the great play designers in the league. Yeah, Ben Johnson.
Yeah. They're getting more than 350.
Yeah, outstanding offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. I know his work.
Ben Johnson alert. That's all. Ben Johnson alert.
And so when I look at it and I say, I agree with Danny on that. I mean, you do want that apology. We are, you know, who wants to be rejected? We got rejected. So that adds on to it. That makes it worse for Caleb.
But you're happy now, Melvin. You got rejected. You picked yourselves up by the bootstraps. You got back on Tinder. The next hookup was Dan Quinn. And now you're married with kids. Everybody's happy. You've moved on. You grew up. It's over. Ben Johnson's doing his thing. You're doing your thing. You bump into him out at dinner. He looks fine. I'm pretty happy, too. Look at my new boo thing.
Well, why doesn't that work for the quarterback, then? For all the people that we talked about endlessly and dissected and figured out who would be the best?
You got to talk to Bears fans. I don't know. I don't know why they can't get over it. They're obsessed.
They are.
Well, I know why. Because it's not the same. It's not analogous. They're not happy. In your situation, you're happily married and you love this new girlfriend. They're not as happy. They're in an unhappy relationship, a lot of them, where they're not convinced this is the one. They haven't proposed yet. They haven't gotten married because they're like, it's okay. It seems like it's getting a little better, but I know that was the one that got away. That one right there?
Yeah.
That was the one I wanted.
Well, it's not like he went round seven either. It was one pick later.
Yeah. All they had to do was say the name. G&D on the Fan, Thursday Night Football in the division tonight, plus our confidence points picks. As we continue on, Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.